The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298 CO Minneapolis, fueled by Lucky's Station.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. The death toll from Florence has risen to 15. The South Carolina Highway Patrol says that a pickup truck was traveling west on Interstate 20 in Kershaw County on Sunday morning when it went off the roadway. Troopers say that the truck struck an overpass support beam and the driver died at the scene. Heavy rain has fallen on portions of central and eastern South Carolina after former hurricane-turned-tropical depression Florence moved onshore. Meanwhile, FEMA Director Brock Long says that flooding from what's left of Florence will be extensive.
Not only are you going to see more impacts across North Carolina, particularly as it moves from the central to the western area, dumping copious amounts of rains, but we're also anticipating you're about to see a lot of damage going through West Virginia all the way up to Ohio as this system exits out.
That audio courtesy of Fox News Sunday. More details at srnnews.com.
Mark Levin wants to see credit where credit is due.
Look at the Trump administration.
What have they done in 17 or 18 months?
They've created almost 500,000 manufacturing jobs. Economic growth, as you know, this last quarter hit 4.2%. Unemployment claims are at a half a century low. This is big stuff. And for this, the left hates him. Hates him.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 8, right after Larry Elder at 5, on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent Radio.
More of the Northern Alliance Radio Network coming your way. Mitch Berg in for the closer. Brad Carlson, I guess we call him Mitch the closer. Berg. Maybe that doesn't quite work as well. All right. Beautiful afternoon, though, anyway. Sunshine, 91. 71 tonight. Could see a scattered shower late tonight. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 78 tomorrow. Better chance of those showers happen Monday night. We're AM 1280, The Patriot. Glad you're with us. More Than Arn is next.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering.
Go flight.
Master control.
Go flight.
Studio engineer.
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan, here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
Wrong! Channeling my inner John McLaughlin. I am, in fact, Mitch Berg in for Brad Carlson. Brad's on assignment today, in much the same sense that I was on assignment yesterday.
Is his assignment watching the Vikings-Packers?
I will neither confirm nor deny, and I will neither confirm nor deny that the timing is perfect to not do the show yesterday, because I was able to attend the African-American Gun Club picnic yesterday. Wonderful
nice.
Time, and I got some photos of Louis Dinard's smoker rig. Oh, I'd heard stories about it. No, it's even better than you heard. I'll post some photos later on today of the mother of all smoker rigs. Anyway, we've got some serious business to talk about here right now. Kim Crockett is on the line with us from an undisclosed location in St. Paul, talking about basically celebration of the Janus decision last June. Kim, this is a big deal. I mean, this has the potential to do for public unions nationwide what Scott Walker's reforms did in Wisconsin. I don't think that's overstating it terribly, is it, Kim?
Well, Kim, or Mitch, this is Mark.
Mark Janus, okay.
Kim at the back seat.
Oh, absolutely. It's okay. This is perfectly fine. I love live radio. We're talking with Mark Janus, the named plaintiff in the Janus and Friedrichs versus Ask Me case. I just got to say, Mark Janus, my father spent 40 years as a high school teacher. He was a great high school teacher. I don't think he's voted for a Republican since Ike. But you get him starting to talk about the subject of the unions and the dues he was coerced into paying. And by the way, he was a union local chair at least once when I was a kid. You get him talking about the unions for the last 15 years, he sounds like a Ron Paul guy. When you lose someone like him, you know the public employees, especially teachers' unions, might be doing something wrong. So just know, Mark Janis, somewhere in rural North Dakota, there is someone out there who has regarded you as a hero since June 27th. So congratulations on the big win at the Supreme Court, Mark Janis.
Well, thanks, Mitch. And, you know, and there's, believe me, there's more than one person in North Dakota. We've got people from all over the country that have contacted us and thanked us for this decision. And I say we because there's a lot of people involved in this. You know, we had the Liberty Justice Center, who I'm now associated with, that were represented me, which I, you know, wholeheartedly endorse, because without their assistance and without their help, I could never have mounted this type of case against a Goliath type of union like AFSCME. And, of course, Rebecca, she, you know, she had a massive amount of support because she was going up against the California Teachers Union, another massive, you know, public sector union or government union. And so there was, you'd be surprised the support that we're getting and the positive reaction we're getting from people all over the country.
So, Mark Janis, what was it that prompted you initially to file your litigation that last June wound up as a Supreme Court decision? What was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back for you?
Well, it amounted to the fact that when I got my first paycheck, I had this line item that said that I was paying union dues and fees, and I had never signed up for a union, never accepted the union, and never signed a pledge card. And I found out in talking to my peers that it was mandatory in the state of Illinois, like it is in a lot of other states across the country, that they have the right, because they asked for the collective bargaining and exclusive representation, whether I voted for it or not or anybody else did, that they were representing me. And the positions that they took in so many different areas just were against what I believed and what I felt was correct, and the fact that they just totally did not listen to the rank and file, and they didn't pay attention to what we said and their representation, and they were using these thousands of dollars that they collected, in fact, millions across the country, and they were using it in areas that I just plain didn't agree with, and there were thousands of fellow, you know, non-union fair share fee payers that did felt the same way. And it just struck me the wrong way completely. And what really set me off was a political cartoon in the Chicago Tribune where you see this derelict battleship at the bottom of the ocean, all rusted hulk, full of holes, and it basically, on the bow, it said, Illinois government. And the little cartoon balloon that came out of it said, and as a representation of the union, it said, Captain, the crew has decided to strike. Now, here you've got, you know, the state of Illinois that's in terrible financial condition, and the union in their contract negotiation, which still has not been settled, they're asking for $3 billion, and that's with a B, benefit and wage increases. Mm-hmm. Now, how are we going to pay that? And the thing that people don't realize is that union members are taxpayers.
Right.
You know, and so they have to pay this tax also. And what are we doing, you know, trying to put more of a burden, not only on, you know, the rank and file union people, but also the rest of the population of a state? And I just, that's what caused me to file the suit, get involved with Liberty Justice, and just, you know, I was fed up. Pure and simple.
Mm-hmm. Now, reading the New York Times coverage last June when the decision was made, I almost got the impression that the New York Times and some of the, especially the local newspapers here in the Twin Cities, may not have had as startled and overwrought a reaction when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor as when the Supreme Court decided in you and Linda Friedrich's favor, Mark Janis. What do you think? I mean, from your perspective, what do you think is the end result of this decision for the public employee unions nationwide?
Well, I think the end result is that we've given some power back to the individual worker, and they are now free to make their own decision and choose their own path as to whether they want to join a union or not. Whereas previously, before the decision, they didn't have that right. And, you know, the one thing that I think a lot of people forget about, Mitch, is that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you know, is a contract with the people of this country. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's so many people out there that think it's just a suggestion.
Right.
And that it really, you know, doesn't have that much weight. And that's another error that I think is made because, you know, our argument in the court was the fact that we wanted the right and the freedom of association as afforded by the Bill of Rights. Unfortunately, if you look at all the union misinformation that's out there, they never mention that once.
Right.
They talk about how we're trying to, you know, put unions out of business and a whole variety of other things, which is totally against what we stood for. We're not trying to put unions out of business. If you want to make your own decision and decide to join a union, God bless you. You go right ahead. If that's what you want, go for it. But also give us the right to choose that we don't want to be a member of the union and make our own decision. And that's all we're asked for. It's very, very cut and dry, very simple.
As someone who grew up in a teacher's union household, I looked at this decision and I thought, wow, it's very potential that the worst and potentially the best thing that could happen out of this is that teachers' unions and public employee unions in general will actually have to make some effort to prove their value to their membership, which is something private sector employee unions have had to try and do for quite some time now. And it's something that, quite frankly, should make the public sector unions healthier in the long run at doing their actual job, representing for their members, as opposed to being wealth transfer functions. I mean, do you think the teachers' unions have the potential of learning the right lesson from this decision, Mark Janis?
Well, let me switch that over to Rebecca, because she
yes.
is a teacher. She brought the case prior to mine, and she can answer that better than I can.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Rebecca Friedrich.
Rebecca Friedrich.
My case is Friedrich versus California Teachers Association. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Go ahead.
Well, my question I had for Mark was, and since you're a teacher, this ties in well with my experience. My dad was a teacher, teachers union local president at least once, but by the time he retired, and he's a lifelong Democrat, hasn't voted for Republican since Eisenhower, I don't think. But towards the end of his career, he started talking about the union. He sounded like a Ron Paul guy towards the end there. Not a lot of love lost for him for the unions by the end there. My question was, it sounds like if the unions take the right message from this, that they have to start proving their value to their employees, it could actually be a benefit of sorts in the long run for teachers and their union. What do you think is the likely end result of the decision that you won, congratulations, last June at the Supreme Court, on the public employees, especially teachers' unions?
Yeah, this is a really great question. So, like your dad, the whole reason I brought my case, which my case was Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association, and we were the trailblazer case. Justice Scalia died, so we ended up getting a tie. And then Mark picked up our fumble and ran it for a touchdown and won this race for us. And we're so grateful. But the whole reason I brought the case was because I also was a union leader. I served in my local union association for 3 years on the executive board. And the state and national union was completely tone deaf to the local teachers. So we had a situation where a bunch of teachers were going to lose their jobs during the downturn of the economy in 2008-09. And I went to bat for those teachers and said, hey, we all as teachers in the local unit, we want to take a small pay cut to save their jobs, to keep class sizes down, to do what's right for the kids in the community. And it was the state and national union that absolutely said no. They would not let us take a vote on it. They would not let us create a survey to even ask people how they felt about it.
Wow.
They were 100% at fault for multiple teachers being laid off that year. And what they said to me was, Rebecca, don't worry about those teachers. The union's going to take care of them. We're going to give them a seminar on how to get unemployment benefits.
Oh, geez.
These teachers were paying $1,000 a year for this quote-unquote representation. And this was the kind of stuff that brought me to a place where I brought a case against these unions. So the truth is, if the unions would start listening to their members, they could be stronger than ever. They could be doing a great job, but they won't listen. They refuse to listen. And so thank God teachers and other public sector employees now have the right to not only opt out, but to opt out and pay zero for this quote-unquote representation. So it's a good day for employees.
Absolutely. Rebecca Friedrichs, we are out of time, and it's a shame because I would love to. We could talk about this for a solid 2 hours. The one question I have before we break away is, what's the website for teachers to find out more? And if you need to pass it back to Kim, go right ahead. I think it's educatedteachers.com. Absolutely. We'll run with that.
Educatedteachersmn.com.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to Rebecca Friedrichs-Janis on a epical Supreme Court decision last June. Celebration ensuing. This is great. Up next, Pam Myra joins us.
Hi, this is Lee with the Kingdom Builders. Does what we do matter? You know, in the big scheme of things, how important is a roof or gutters? And maybe those things aren't real important in the eternal scope of things, but they are important in us establishing relationships with other people, and they're also important in being able to reach out, being able to meet people, being able to expand the kingdom or edify or build each other up. So maybe our work is more of a vehicle to establish relationships than it is just a business. Some of the services we offer are shingle roofing, residential roofing. We also do commercial and residential flat roofs, rubber and TPO flat roofs, small or large. For a free and obviously no obligation estimate, you can always contact us by phone at 612-900-9166 or look us up online at thekingdombuilders.net.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is only the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit, 800-786-9300. That's 800-786-9300. 800-786-9300.
On September 17, 1787, Congress signed the U.S. Constitution, which defined our government and guaranteed our rights. Each September, we celebrate Constitution Day. And though the framers never imagined the cell phone, they did ensure your right to free speech and self-determination, which is exactly what Patriot Mobile is all about. Patriot Mobile celebrates the founding fathers and your values and is the only cell phone carrier that supports conservative causes while also providing you the same nationwide reliable service with unlimited talk and text for less money and no hidden fees. So in honor of that day in 1787, Patriot Mobile is offering all data plans for $17.87 for your first month of service. Make the switch today. Go to patriotmobile.com or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Get unlimited talk, text, and data for $17.87 for your first month. Go to patriotmobile.com or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Let's celebrate Constitution Day and support our rights one call at a time.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network, 651-289-4488. Just one of those days when there's too much stuff going on. I need another hour here to get to everything. Usually I always pull up 10 pages of prep for these shows, and I've gotten through like maybe half a page of it, which is the way you liked it. It beats the alternative. Anyway, it was great talking with Kim Crockett always. Of course, Mark Janis and Rebecca Friedrichs, fantastic guests on basically doing the work that needs to be done. Up next, a candidate to do some work that desperately needs to be done. Our next guest, who's the Republican-endorsed candidate for state auditor here in the state of Minnesota, Pam Myra joins us. Pam, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you so much, Mitch. It's really a treat to be here.
It's, I think, the first time we've had the pleasure of doing this on the air, so great to have you down here. You're on the campaign trail today. Happy you could stop by here.
Thank you.
They're keeping you busy, as well you should be this time of the campaign season.
For sure.
Running for state auditor, let's talk briefly about it's one of those things that sounds like it should be self-explanatory. The state auditor, someone who audits the state, who's the state's basically numbers person. Basically the one who tries to make sure the state's finances are all kept accountable and in balance and looking for and investigating and uncovering the irregularities in how the state spends its money. Is close enough?
Pretty close. The state auditor is supposed to be responsible for being in charge, overseeing, setting the tone for financial audits and performance reviews. We want accountability and transparency.
And that would seem to be a fairly obvious call for someone with a background in accounting. Let's talk about your qualifications for the job. What makes you qualified to be the state auditor?
Well, Mitch, I'm a certified public accountant with an active license, a former audit manager at KPMG. It's an international public accounting firm. And also, I served in the legislature for two terms. And during that process, I chief authored two bills on government transparency. I learned something very important in that process is that it is unanimous. People want to know how their tax dollars are being used. They want their tax dollars used effectively and as they were intended. Those two chief authored bills of mine were passed unanimously in the House and signed into law by the governor.
Unanimously among the Republican caucus?
No, really?
Yeah.
Amazingly.
I don't hear those things.
Both of those bills were not only passed by all the Republicans, and sometimes it's hard to get everybody on board, but everybody.
I heard.
Yeah. But all the Republicans and all the Democrats.
Now, when the job title is state auditor and you know anything at all about how businesses work, auditor, accountant, seems to go together like horse and carriage. And yet, we've been obviously, the among the constitutional office races, the Attorney General's office has been soaking up a lot of the oxygen because we are looking to replace a state attorney general that has been basically turning, two estate attorneys general that have turned that office into a political fiefdom for the last, 20 years now. The state auditor's office gets a little less spotlight than the attorney general's office, and yet the big question for you, Pam Myra, is what would you be replacing with your background as an accountant in the state auditor's office? I mean, what would be the contrast having you in that office compared to what we currently have?
That is a very fair question.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we have someone who is really unfamiliar with what's called government auditing standards.
Right.
Government auditing standards were first initiated back in the 70s as state auditors across the nation said, we need some standards to do our work by. And they went to Congress, and Congress, through the Government and Accountability Office, set these standards up. They have been updated every once in a while. Last time they were updated was in 2011.
Okay.
They've just come out with some new standards this summer that are being implemented soon. And our current state auditor is unaware of them. And the reason I can say that it's stunning. It really is stunning.
Unaware.
But the reason why I can say that is because the Senate passed a bill. It was Senate File 2978, and they passed it unanimously. Again, unanimously. It's all the Democrats, all the Republicans. They admonished her and gave her a protocol of what to follow when she finds or her office finds some findings and needs to deal with the responsible officials. That really wasn't needed because that is part of what we call government auditing standards. But it was passed unanimously. All the Democrats and Republicans bought in the Senate, and it was sent to the House, and the House added it to an omnibus bill, and it was passed out of the House as well.
Wow. So now I just spent a good chunk of yesterday morning with my accountant going over my taxes.
And I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm alive. I mean, needed a couple shots to get through the rest of the day, but I'm alive. And I see the voodoo that accountants do, and I go after a while. So, but on the other hand, it is important stuff. So, what is the nature of these standards, and how do they impact the way? I mean, obviously, the Senate admonished Rebecca Otto, the current occupant of the office, for not knowing, much less following these standards. What is the nature of these standards, and what is the impact they have, or really, what impact of not knowing about them on the way state government works?
All right. Well, first, one of the things I'd like to clear up is that I wouldn't be, and my office would not be, auditing taxpayers.
No, understood.
Right. You know, but
I'm just giving you the layman's perspective.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, I don't want to vote for an auditor because I don't want her showing up at my door. No, I'm not going to do that.
That's what the Department of Revenue's for. You go after Commerce Commissioner for that.
No, Pam Meyer, state auditor, what we would be doing, our office would be looking at the financial returns or the financial audits of government units,
right,
cities and counties.
Understood. And I'm just going to put this box of receipts away here now that I'm just kidding. No, seriously, though. And I understand that, but you're entirely right. I imagine you run into people who think, oh, you're the one I got to bring in all of my financial records of the last 7 years to. Understood.
Right.
You're not that person, but you're the one who does that. You will be, heaven willing, and with a tailwind, who will be doing that to state government offices, officers, government departments, doing that in regard to presumably legislation that gets passed in the future here. So tell us exactly why it matters to have an actual CPA running the show on this sort of activity.
Well, I'm going to give you just an example, tell you a little story. About 2 weeks ago, Dakota County reported that $250,000 is missing from their low-income housing program.
Oh.
That is very disconcerting to me.
Yeah.
And I think for most people, when they hear $250,000 is missing from a low-income housing program, they get it. That it's missing, that means it's not there for the people who really need it. The state auditor is empowered by Minnesota statute to do audits. They're called single audits of federal grant money. And I would make sure that those audits are being done appropriately. And if they're being done by somebody outside of our office, that they are being done appropriately there, too. Recently, I took a look at our current state auditor's report that was issued on single audits, those federal grant monies. And I was really surprised to find that she references a memorandum of understanding that dates back to 1983.
Wow.
Now, the math is that's 35 years ago. The profession requires that when we have letters of engagement or a memorandum of understanding, that those be updated so everybody's on board and understands. This is one situation where it's 35 years out. So one of the things I will commit as your state auditor is that we will follow generally accepted government auditing standards. I will look through our Minnesota statute and bring it up to date. And you're laughing.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking, what other area of society are we still citing precedents from Ronald Reagan's first term? Pam Myra, can we keep you another segment here? I know you're busy on the campaign trail.
I'd love to stay.
And the reason I ask is because we've got some calls on the line. I want to give the calls some fair shrift here. We still got 2 minutes before we have to take the break, but I want to give the call enough time. So first of all, how can people find out more about you, your campaign, and the importance of finally making the right vote for state auditor?
My website is www.pamforauditor.com. That's Pam, F-O-R, auditor.com.
I will post that at shotinthedark.info
after
the broadcast here today, so people who have short memories perhaps can follow that. Absolutely. Pamforauditor.com. We'll get that out there. The contrast I'm looking for here is, I mean, there's a lot of clear contrast in what Doug Wardlow is looking to do in contrast with what Mike Hatch has done in his 5 terms running the state, the Attorney General's office. I know technically it's been Lori Swanson this last 12 years, but you and I both know better than that. We know that Rebecca Otto's understanding of accounting is a little flawed, suspect, and extremely out of date. What does this mean in terms of the actual fiscal control of Minnesota state government? I mean, is it your hunch there might be some bodies buried out there, financially speaking, that need to be uncovered?
Well, I don't know about bodies, but we really do need to do a thorough review. And some people have asked me about, you know, should we have the governor appoint the state auditor? I would be opposed to that. Absolutely. Yeah. I like keeping it in the hands of the public. And some have talked about it being turned over to the legislative auditor. And I would be opposed to that as well. There are certain things that the legislative auditor does and the state auditor. We can talk about that more after the break if you like.
Let's do that. Because the state auditor, by the way, James Nobles has done a fantastic job running the state auditor's office on an unbelievably good job. But it's a whole different area that he's responsible for covering. And a good state auditor should be covering some entirely different areas from that. We're going to keep Pam Myra for another segment here. If you've got a question for candidate Myra, give us a call, 651-289-4488. I'm also monitoring Twitter at hashtag NARN show. That's NARN show, Northern Alliance Radio Network show. We'd love to have you on here to ask questions of hopefully, with any luck at all, our next state auditor. So join us, if you will, please. The Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280. The Patriot, go nowhere. Still a half hour to go. Ergo, the fun. Yep, just beginning.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head? Comb it over? Wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts *11 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text *11 to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. *11 to 85850.
Hi, this is Nick Anderson, General Manager of AM 1280 The Patriot. And I'd like to remind you to spend your money wisely and use our loyal marketing partners here at this great station. Many of our clients are local businesses who live, work, and play right here in the Twin Cities, and their success in business is our success. For a list of our loyal marketing partners, go to am1280thepatriot.com or call us at 651-405-8800. We thank you for listening and supporting our partners.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
How many hours do you spend using digital media every day? I'm talking cell phones, computers, TV, radio, iPads, and tablets, you know, the works. If you're anywhere near the average, it's probably close to 13 and a half hours a day.
We have become addicts to media, and our lives don't seem to be complete until we get our fix of the media. For younger people, it's social media, and other folks, it is talk media. But it all has the same effect. We are becoming people of information, but we are lacking the wisdom of how to live with it. The Bible teaches that we should pursue understanding and wisdom because they will bring us into a fullness of how to live life. Perhaps a good dose of Bible reading could cure the jitters of being overwhelmed by our media information. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
Join Center of the American Experiment at the 2018 Fall Briefing, featuring one of the nation's most distinguished defenders of individual rights, Alan Dershowitz. Dershowitz will share thoughtful analysis of freedom of speech in an era of increasingly divisive and hostile political rhetoric. The Fall Briefing will be held October 1st at 7 p.m. at the Ordway Center for the Performing Arts in St. Paul. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit AmericanExperiment.org. That's AmericanExperiment.org.
Who's got two thumbs and is going to this concert in November? This guy, 35 years in the waiting. I'm always a little trepidatious about going to see my idols. By the way, this album, one of my three favorite albums of all time.
Which album? Bandana?
What's that?
Gonna wear your bandana?
I'm wearing my dude rag. I'm gonna find a leather jacket, whatever it takes. I'm gonna be a pathetic throwback and I won't care. Actually, I was a little trepidatious about going to see my idols of my youth a decade or two late. But it should be a fun concert. And if you're going, let's definitely do a pregame before the show this November 2nd in Burnsville. Yes, I'll be doing an all Little Steven Day on Saturday, November 3rd. But it is time to move on to some actual business at hand here. We're talking with Pam Myra, for State Representative Pam Myra, and moving on, hopefully with a little luck and a tailwind, on to being the next Minnesota State Auditor. We've got some phone calls, actually a fair number of phone calls piled up for a gorgeous Sunday afternoon. We'll go back to those in just a moment here. You have a fundraiser coming up today.
I do, on Wednesday, September the 19th.
Wednesday, September the 19th. People out more?
People can find out more on Facebook.
Facebook? And what's the Facebook?
At Pam for Auditor.
At Pam for Auditor. We'll post the link to that
Wonderful.
As well here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you're very interested, we can start. You definitely need the fundraising because Rebecca Otto's got that, your opponent.
It's an open seat.
Open seat. That's yes. Right. That'll help a lot. And your opponent, who, by the way, is, I'm thinking, not an accountant?
No, she's not. She's a junior high math teacher.
Oh, well, yeah. Close enough.
She's talking about how she can count. She wants to be Minnesota's bean counter, and yeah.
That would seem to be the minimum possible level of competence for the office. So, someone who can count versus a certified public accountant. I don't know. If you're outside of unicorn and panda world, it would seem to be an obvious choice. We'll do our best to make sure the citizens of Minnesota know this. Let's go to St. Paul. Line 1, Tor joins us with a question for Pam Myra. Tor, go right ahead. You're live on AM 1280 The Patriot.
Thank you, Mitch. Good to chat with you again.
Likewise.
Ms. Myra, yes. I tip my hat to you. For those of you listeners who aren't aware of the concept of generally accepted government accounting principles, which is most of us, I did take an economics course, so I became familiar with the concept of generally accepted accounting principles. There are several sets of rules that the government has, and rules that all businesses and nonprofits and things like that have to abide by. I'm not sure Ms. Myra's opponent really understands that, even though she teaches junior high.
Generally accepted pedagogical practices, perhaps? Yes. So your question, Tor.
Two questions or two things I'd like Pam to talk about. Point number one, and this is just a point, not a question. Pam really is overwhelmingly qualified to do this job.
Thank you.
If some of you don't understand that, read a little bit into some of what Pam talks about. And the other thing that I'm hoping that will help with this, Pam, my understanding is that some of the existing rules about what the state auditor is allowed or how he or she is allowed to do her job as state auditor are actually kind of weak, and how you, as a certified public accountant, would capitalize on that and do these things better and in a more responsible and honest fashion and with more integrity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much for your call, Tori. Any response to the statement?
One of the most important things I want to do is update current statute. And what I have done is I have proven that I can work with both sides of the aisle to do a good job for oversight for the taxpayers, for Minnesota taxpayers. When I was in the legislature, I chief authored those two bills on government transparency. Everyone bought in. Everybody won. It wasn't a slam dunk. It was legislation that had been tried to be passed for 17 years. Yeah,
whoa.
17 years. So it was actually had been controversial, but we were able to get it through. As your state auditor, I would work on gaining that same kind of consensus, working with people to have better oversight of our government, local government. For the people.
Absolutely. Let's go to another call from St. Paul. Vincent, you're live on the Northern Alliance with Pam Myra. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, and good luck there in the election. In St. Paul here, the mayor of St. Paul, the new mayor, Melvin Carter, he didn't want to spend money on a fireworks 4th of July celebration like Benjamin Franklin said to celebrate. He's spending money on other stuff. Well, I don't know what, but also, and also with city inspections, the fire department came into the apartment I live in here, the building, and went through the city codes for the owners. Then they come into people's homes, you know, like mine, and told me to get rid of 50% of my life. I'm a Vietnam vet. So, you know, I got to get rid of, I don't know, I'm fighting them all the way to the owners of Supreme Court, but I haven't gone that high. I did go to the President of the United States.
Right. So thank you for your call, Vincent. And that brings up a question. I mean, with the state auditor's job, does that have what's in terms of auditing other levels of government, so local county governments, especially governments like St. Paul with such very Byzantine complex finances and even more Byzantine complex politics? Which brings us to the question, what's the difference between God and a St. Paul building inspector? God doesn't think he's a St. Paul building inspector. So anyway, so what is the state auditor's role and responsibility in dealing with other lower levels of government in the state of Minnesota, Pam Ira?
Well, the state auditor oversees over $20 billion of local government. That's a lot. And there was a very, we haven't spoken about it yet, but there was a really controversial lawsuit that the state auditor took up to the Minnesota Supreme Court. It was finalized in April of this year. And there was legislation that was passed by the Democrat Senate, the Republican House, and signed into law by the Democrat governor to allow counties to be able to choose if they wanted a public accounting firm to do their audits or the state auditor.
Right.
After three lawsuits, a lot of taxpayer money expended, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the counties and found the legislation that was passed by the legislature and signed into law was constitutional. And so now counties may choose to have a private firm do their audit, or they can have the state auditor do it. And this really wasn't a really big deal from the standpoint that this was allowed for cities for a long time. Cities have been able to choose a public accounting firm or the state auditor. This was extending that choice to counties as well. So the state auditor, it was affirmed by the Supreme Court, has their oversight responsibility over the auditing firms that will be doing audits of local governments like counties and cities. So the state auditor will do audits and in some cases will do reviews of the firms that do those audits.
Absolutely. So and this is one of those things where it gets into highly abstruse technical details of running the mechanics of government. And yet so much of where state government, the rubber hits the road vis-a-vis state government, happens in these constitutional office positions, running elections, handling litigation on behalf of the state, auditing the various levels of state government. I mean, the impact of these three constitutional officer races, along with the governor's race, obviously, have an impact on people's lives, on people's pocketbooks, on people's the quality of life in Minnesota, in some cases, when you're dealing with governments like St. Paul, much more than a lot of people even know out there, Pam Ira.
Yes, and quite honestly, I think there's a real hunger for having a state auditor that not only does financial audits and reviews those auditing firms, but also does performance audits. People tell me, hey, you know, are our laws being followed? Are those programs worthwhile? And that's something that we could add to that statute that the state auditor is under.
Well, absolutely. So, Pam Myra, one more time, your campaign website
is www.pamforauditor.com.
Pamforauditor.com, yes. And you've got the same basic handle out on Facebook. I'll
at
link to
Pam
that.
For Auditor,
pamforauditor.com,
yes.
Where you can find out more about the fundraiser you have coming up just around the corner here.
On Wednesday, September the 19th, yes.
19th. And boy, the Republicans need help in all these races because they're running up against a lot of big union money. And, of course,
yes.
As we discussed with Janice and Friedrichs in the last segment before you came on, they're spending while they got it.
Yes.
So they're basically throwing everything they got into this right now. So every dollar helps. By the way, what kind of help do you need besides money? I mean, if people want to go to the MIRA for state auditor campaign, at this stage of the race with 8 weeks to go before the election, 10 weeks?
It's less than that, but we sure need people to
Good thing
help.
I'm not an accountant.
we sure need help with people doing door knocking and making phone calls and pounding in signs and giving that money. And there's a lot of areas. A
lot of help needed. So definitely go out to the website. I'll be posting that at shotinthedark.info as soon as I get a moment to actually do that.
Appreciate
here today.
It.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mitch.
So Pam Myra, thank you very much
thank
for coming
you.
Out on the broadcast today. Good luck on the rest of the campaign trail. If you need, have your people call my people. We'll do this
All
again
right.
before the election.
Please, let's.
Definitely need to turn out the troops for this one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pam Myra, running for Minnesota State Auditor, a replacement that after 12 years of Rebecca Otto in the office is direly, desperately needed, like all of the constitutional offices races, John Howe for Secretary of State and Doug Wardlow running for Attorney General. Having Pam Myra in the state auditor's office will have a positive impact on your life as a Minnesotan. One more segment to go on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere. We'll be right back.
AM 1120, The Patriot.
This is Lonnie Chen of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. President Barack Obama returned to the campaign trail last week with a strident and wide-ranging rebuke of President Trump and Republicans. He was asking voters to remember the good old days when he was in charge. But let's not forget the fruits of his labor. Here at home, he oversaw anemic economic growth, fought for a costly health care law that has increased premiums, and imposed stifling regulations. Abroad, he pursued a foolish nuclear deal with Iran, failed to articulate a comprehensive strategy for eradicating radical Islamic terrorism, not deal decisively with Syria, a failing that has resulted in human suffering to this day. During campaign season, it's natural for politicians to exaggerate a little in making their case. But we shouldn't let President Obama get away with a complete rewrite of his own history in office. I'm Lon He Chen.
For more information, please visit townhallreview.com.
The Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy, America's unique graduate program. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Pro-life across America, the Billboard people.
I'm sure glad you're my sister, Addie.
Yep, you're my best buddy.
Mom says you were their little surprise. What would we do without you?
Well, you'll probably get your own gum.
Yeah, that's true, but you're worth it.
Hello, my name is Carrie. I work with Pro-life across America, the Billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives to abortion or needs post-abortion assistance or would like to support the life-saving work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America, educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
You work hard for your money, so make sure your money is working hard for you. Our sister station, Business 1440, brings you financial advice from pros like Dave Ramsey, Bill Gunderson, and the Twin Cities' own Financial Fortitude and Investing for Success. With up-to-the-minute market updates, real estate tactics, and tips on investing and saving, Business 1440 will keep more of that hard-earned cash in your pocket. Learn more and listen live at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com.
Business owners, how important are your computer systems to your daily business? That's what I thought. Don't let unexpected issues like computer malware or viruses stop your productivity. Locally owned and operated, Superior Managed IT has been providing IT support to small and mid-sized companies for over 25 years. Don't wait. Partner with Superior Managed IT so you can concentrate on running your business. Contact Superior today for your free, no-obligation consult. Go to SuperiorManagedIT.com. That's SuperiorManagedIT.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot. That was the sound of Rebecca Otto hearing that last interview.
Give me all your love and anything else you got to
Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. 651-289-4488. Should you care to join me? I'm always happy when people do it. I'm always gratified when people take time out on a day like today to call their favorite local talk show. Of course, this past week, the anniversary of the September 11th attacks on the United States. And I don't know about you, Lee, but the longer I go here, I mean, I remember a lot of things from 9/11 and the immediate aftermath, like how weird it was to go outside on November 12th, November 13th, look up in the sky and seeing contrails in the air that were doing loop-de-loops around, which commercial airliners never do. Turning is burning fuel when you're an airliner, whereas it's what you do when you're a fighter plane flying combat air patrol over the Twin Cities, which was one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life, knowing that, yeah, the only planes up there have got missiles on them. And the other one, of course, was about a week after 9/11. My kids were, I think, 8 and 10 at the time. And I took them to soccer practice. And I mean, live in St. Paul, same place I live now. And the other parents there were all very much Lola Granola, John Oliver watching, Volvo driving, Whole Foods shopping, alpaca wearing St. Paul liberals. But this is, and it's probably the only time in history this will ever happen. And we were standing there about 7 o'clock at night watching our kids play soccer. And a couple of F-16s from Duluth flew over at about 500-600 feet, basically climbing out of Twin Cities, heading back home after topping up. And they were, nothing like the sound of a fighter plane going right overhead. Just that you could hear them coming a mile away. F-16s have no mufflers on them, right? growing up near, in Air Force country, I knew that sound. Oh, something special's coming up here. And a couple of these F-16s went overhead. And it's the first time I ever saw this in my – I never thought I would see this, and I know I will never see it again unless we're attacked again. But a bunch of these latte-drinking, Garrison Keillor-loving, Al Franken-voting liberals – started pumping their fists and going, "Booyah!" when a couple of F-16s flew overhead. It's like suddenly all the priorities were straight for once. That was one of my most endearing, enduring memories of that particular time, Lee Michaels.
Yeah, that was the same thing. You remember on the caps of the Capitol steps when all of Congress was out there united, singing God Bless America?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was one of those things. And I just remember thinking at the time, how long will this unity last?
Run your stopwatch is what I was thinking, and I wasn't far off. I think we probably all thought the same thing around the time. Enjoy it while you can. Smoke them when you got them. But my most enduring, I was thinking about this, like on 9/11 itself, I was thinking about this. I was working in a building full of veterans, as it happens. I'm working a little startup that was founded by an Air Force veteran. My lead developer was a former Ranger. My QA manager was a former Russian paratrooper. So we had a lot of people with some opinions about what to do on that day. But my most enduring memory I have of 9/11, and since you are the person in this building with a longer radio resume than me, you may have a perspective on this yourself. I remember I had been listening to the morning show on the local classic rock station because P.J. O'Rourke was doing a book tour at the time. And, of course, P.J. O'Rourke, one of the people who turned me into a conservative back in the day, reading him. And I thought, this is great. I got to listen. And, of course, they took a break. And I don't listen to breaks. I flip over to public radio. And I don't know about you, Lee, although I suspect you know what I'm talking about here. But to me, there is no sound in the world that says something is terribly wrong in the world than a national public radio host trying to ad lib.
It was the same thing with TV.
Watching TV people trying to ad lib, maybe even worse than national public radio people. But national radio people in general have to at least keep some sort of imagery going on in their heads because you just have the dimension of sound, not picture, to communicate with the world. So in theory, public radio people should be a little closer to the having some ability to ad lib convincingly, or at least to fill time convincingly, than TV people. And yet I flipped over to All Things Considered, or whatever, the Morning Edition. Thank you very much. Morning Edition. And listening to NPR people trying to stammer their way through describing something that would be hard for anyone to describe. I mean, the fact that they're completely confused, but seeing these images of the first World Trade Center tower burning and then the second World Trade Center tower burning. And listening to them trying to, before I even heard the phrase World Trade Center or airplane crashing or terrorism, I knew something had to be terribly wrong with the world because To paraphrase Fred Thompson in Hunt for Red October, if Ivan doesn't visit the loo without a plan, National Public Radio people, or public radio people on any level, don't put a Belgian waffle in the toaster without a script. I don't know about you, but I've been on some public radio broadcasts in the past, and these people script their ad libs. All of the banter between hosts and reporters is scripted. And even the unscripted stuff, I mean, you go to Prairie Home Companion or what's the other one? Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me with Peter. They don't script it per se. But they also, if they don't like the take they got of something spontaneous, they'll retape it until they get something spontaneous that they actually like. So it's about as spontaneous as a Bridezilla wedding, Lee Michaels, everything that you hear on public radio. And so you having some background in radio, just the idea of public radio people trying to go off the cuff, as we in commercial radio do constantly, like, for example, this entire past hour and 45 minutes has been almost entirely off the cuff, as it is every week. But that was the one before any facts came out. Just the fact that something was going terribly, terribly wrong caused my stomach to contract with an icy pit of nerves right there, because you know something is very, very, very off the tracks when public radio people have to try and wing it.
Yeah, when you see good radio people are able to do that, when they transition to TV or another medium,
yes,
you can actually tell people who have once been in radio because they can actually ad lib. You watch any of the national news guys,
yes,
it's kind of basically the same thing, unless their opinion, people who've done radio shows, all of the, you know, if you see Prager or any of our guys or the Hannitys of the world,
that's right,
you know, those guys can ad lib well because that's what they do for a living in radio. But the TV people or the NPR people, National Public Radio people, it's a whole different ballgame.
If it doesn't come across the teleprompter for TV people, and if it's not up on the script for public radio people, it doesn't exist. They have no concept of how to do it. I remember the first time I heard that, by the way, I'm sure you do remember this, back in 1993, because my son was a...
I worked in this building in 93.
You did!
I was in this building.
Right. The double wide on 13. That's right. I forgot about that. You've been in this building a number of times. And there was an anhydrous ammonia leak in Duluth Harbor, and the public radio affiliate up there tried to go, had to go live and unscripted ad-libbing this toxic cloud rolling towards or around the city of Duluth, which is the kind of thing where if you've done commercial radio and had a tornado warning while you were on the air, and you've got to say, okay, well, this is the time you got to head down to the cellar here, folks. It's the sort of stuff that you learn when you're an 18-year-old kid at your first radio job. Listen to these people learn this for the first time. Well, kind of set me up for that level of alarm. Anyway, thanks, Lee, for coming in on a gorgeous Sunday to guide me through this day.
Glad to help you.
Thank you all for coming out here today. Thanks to Brad Carlson for letting me come on and do one of his Sundays. I'll try to give it back to him intact. And thank you all for tuning in. See you all next Saturday from 1 to 3. God bless you all. God bless America.
Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Hello, I'm Mark Stoneman, president of WNAB Audiovisual. WNAB Audiovisual provides equipment and technicians for events of all sizes, from a handful of people to large ballrooms and convention centers as well. We also provide installation services for churches, schools, and corporations. No matter how many people are at your event, WNAB has the technicians and expertise along with the equipment to make each event successful. Audiovisual services include equipment such as sound systems, microphones, projection systems with screens, laptops, draping, lighting, and all the related equipment, and also web streaming services, so your meeting can go beyond the four walls of your space. WNAB Audiovisual, where your meeting is our business. Please contact us at wnav-video.com.
TwinCitiesTuitions.com has been helping families for over 7 years get into the school of their dreams. We have placed over 90 kids into private education, including Stacy's son.
I have to say that this was an answer to prayer. This program made it possible for my son to transition into ninth grade into a wonderful school. Dealing with the station, particularly Alyssa, has been such a blessing.
Education is one of the most important decisions that you can make as a parent.
The difference that I've seen in my son in a Christian education is a confidence that can only come from Jesus Christ. He stands firm in the truth, he knows what he believes, and he's going to know that Jesus is the answer.
Don't pay more than you need to for your child's first year of private school. Call me, Alyssa Brecken, at 651-289-4406, or visit our website at TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
Last year on June 11th, over 200,000 homes in Minnesota were affected by storm, wind, and hail damage. Unfortunately, insurance companies only give homeowners limited time to file claims to complete work, replace or repair damaged siding and roofing. If you have not filed a claim yet, or maybe you were denied by your insurance company and feel like you have legitimate damage to your property from last year's storm, call Storm Group Roofing and Siding, stormgrouproofing.com. If you don't file a claim this year, you'll soon be paying out of pocket. Storm Group Roofing is a local company based in Minneapolis. They're a trusted contractor that works with all insurance companies. Storm Group Roofing maintains an A-plus rating with the BBB with no complaints in the last 5 years. They've helped thousands of Minnesota homeowners just like you get their roof repair approved by their insurance company. Don't wait. Contact them online at stormgrouproofing.com.
StormGroupRoofing.com.
Who else would you call?
StormGroupRoofing.com.
Live under our roof.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.